good to be with you this morning to worship God as we have had the privilege to sing and to pray and to study from His Word today. And over the past couple of days, it is my privilege to be here. I'm so thankful for the time that we have together this weekend. You know, life is busy, isn't it? We are busy doing stuff all the time. Work, school, sports, family obligations, the holidays are coming up. Things are about to get really busy from now until the first of the year, and afterward that, then we'll find something else that will keep us busy. Because life is that way, isn't it? There's always something to do. There's always a project to work on around the house. There's always something that we have to do at work that we just haven't done. Or maybe there's something that we need to do of a spiritual importance. There's work that we need to do in the church that we just haven't been able to accomplish for some reason at some previous time before. And so we're going to make it our goal, and we're going to resolve to do that. Because we have to keep busy. It seems that we live in a society that glorifies being busy. That we take pride in, how are you doing? Well, I'm real busy today. And while there is a good thing, it's good to be busy, it's good to not be lazy, it's good to be committed to working and serving and helping others. I think we also need to ask ourselves, what are we busy about? Because especially as we have a family, and as our children grow up, there are going to be all sorts of things that we choose to be involved in. The people that we associate, the things that we take our kids to, the activities that they're going to be involved in, and their friends, that what they are going to do, and what they are going to try to get your children to be involved in. We have to ask ourselves, what are we being busy about? And I certainly believe that if we're going to be busy, we need to be busy in a way that glorifies our Father in heaven. And there is, here in Luke chapter 2, the passage that we read in our hearing just a moment ago. It's one of my favorite moments in the life of Jesus. Perhaps it's because it's so unique, because Luke is the only one that records about Jesus' childhood. And if you maybe follow some of the things that about Jesus' childhood, there's a lot of speculation and a lot of myths that have come about, and I don't buy any of that kind of stuff. I believe actually that Jesus had a very normal childhood, like you and I might have had. But what we see is that Jesus' childhood and his life, even here at the very early age of 12 years old, he's found in the temple with his parents. They have gone to Jerusalem to worship, and there he is a few days later after they have left. And he has remained in Jerusalem quite by accident, appears, at least on his parents' account. And what he is doing, he is engaging in biblical discussion. He's talking about the scriptures. He's asking questions about the law. And everyone is amazed. His parents are amazed. The teachers are amazed, and they are just in awe of what Jesus is doing. But he tells us why he was doing it. When his mother Mary comes to him and asks, you know, why did you do this? I can only imagine the tone in her voice whenever she did that. And I would imagine it was filled with worry, and that she had been frantic about where is her son, and then all the relief that comes with it, but then the anger kind of sets in that you made me go through all of that for 3 days. And Jesus says, why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? Jesus came here with a mission, and he was becoming more and more aware of that mission. The age of 12, at least, that he knew that he must be about his Father's work. That he had a mission and a purpose here on this earth. And he begins to have this deep understanding of what his life was to be about. It was about serving God. You can read all sorts of interesting articles and books about what they say successful people do. that successful people, the most successful people that you can imagine, in whatever areas of life that they are successful in, that they get up early and they accomplish menial tasks first. Or they take the thing that they just don't want to do, that thing that they dread, and they don't put it off. It's the first thing that they do. I think they call it eat the frog or something like that. That it's the thing that you just do. You just get it out of the way. You get it done early. And then you have the rest of the day and it's easy. And you think about people that had that kind of attitude, that kind of mindset. And you think about maybe your superstar athletes who, like Tiger Woods on TV at the age of 2, putting and showing off those skills that he had at a very early age. You think about superstar athletes who are tossing around a football or a baseball at age 3, 4, and 5. They're starting early in their age, in their development, their childhood, to develop skills that would help them be successful later. And for Jesus, the Son of God, His mission was much more important than throwing around a ball or playing any kind of sport. He came here to offer His life as a ransom for many in obedience to the Father in heaven. But from a very early age, He began living in a way that would be consistent with that mission and purpose. And I would suggest to you that's what we need to develop in our families. While we might want our kids to be able to putt a golf ball and to make a lot of money or something in doing that, or maybe get a college scholarship, maybe that's the only goal that we have. And there's nothing wrong with any of those kinds of goals, but I would suggest to you that our first goal needs to be spiritual in nature when it comes to our families. That we need to be focused on the will of God and the Father's business. And if anything that we are going to do, it needs to be in helping us achieve that goal and helping our children achieve that goal. From a very early age, Jesus began living in a way that was going to be consistent with His purpose and His mission. And so how many of us can, in reality, honestly say that we began serving God at an early age? I would imagine that many of us, while we might have been introduced to the truth, or that we heard the truth and had influential people in our lives, parents or grandparents that we love and appreciate for their willingness to teach us and to be patient with us, I would imagine that many of us also came to the truth later in life. And we probably had some struggles along the way that if we had that early fundamental foundational teaching and principle that God comes first in our homes as an early child, and then our lives could have perhaps been quite different. And so we want to think about our families this morning and the kind of family life that we have. Are we developing a life that is interested in doing the will of God and working in the kingdom of the Lord? And what we see is a principle, I believe, that if you're going to have godly children, and this is just a proverb, if you will, it's just a general truth. It's not saying that there aren't exceptions to the rule, but godly children are raised by godly parents. I think that's something that you see here in Luke chapter 2. That when you think about the text here in Luke chapter 2 and in verse 41, it doesn't open with Jesus. It opens now His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. Jesus' parents go to Jerusalem every year. This wasn't something that they just started, Jesus is getting to be 12, 13 years old and, he's about to become a teenager and he's going to have sow his wild oats and we better prepare for it. And so let's start putting him around good people and getting some religion in him. Too late if you're waiting to do that. What does Jesus do? And His parents, they go to Jerusalem every year. This is not something that is a new habit. It's something that they have been doing. They have been consistent with it. They go to the Feast of the Passover every year. They traveled from Nazareth in the northern part of the land of Canaan to go to Jerusalem in the southern part. There would have been inconvenient travel and the amount of time that would have been spent in hardship, especially financially, for a poor carpenter family. But they are willing to make that sacrifice. Several days' journey, they are willing to go and to be at the house of the Lord to worship every year with the people of Israel. And it says in verse 42, "And when he became 12, they went up there according to the custom of the feast." So Jesus goes to the Passover. When Jesus became 12, as we mentioned, this wasn't a new tradition. This was their custom. This was their habit of what they did. I've seen far too many families that they make exceptions to the rules early on in their life. Maybe in the kind of, you probably don't have this problem about this time of year, but with the kind of bathing suit that you might allow your children to wear in the summertime. And then all of a sudden, as you start getting older and maybe more developed and 12, 13 years old, now we got to change that. Well, then the inconsistency appears. And then there's going to be rebellion. And you have set yourself up for, perhaps for a fight with your child at that point. Well, you let me do it back then. Or maybe when it comes to television. That maybe there are TV shows that you allowed your children to watch maybe at an early age because it was cute, it was funny. But then you realize, well, there's some adult humor in there. And so then whenever it comes to them being a teenager, you say, we better not watch that. I don't want you talking like that. I don't want you thinking about stuff like that. Well, guess what? It's already there. Too late. You're probably not going to have very much success in changing the rules all of a sudden. What Jesus' parents do is that they set a very early tradition to be consistent, that we are going to go to the house of the Lord. We are going to go worship God. Because worship, I believe, is intended to be a family-focused event. It's something that the whole family went to Jerusalem for the Passover. And I believe it's highly likely that Jesus has other brothers and sisters by this point. You can read about his brothers and sisters in Matthew chapter 13 and in other passages in the New Testament. And this is the last time that we read about Joseph being alive in the life of Jesus. And so you can imagine that this family, as it is growing, and perhaps Jesus is about to lose Joseph, and he's about to be the eldest in his family amongst his brothers and sisters. You can imagine the challenges that this family is about to face in the future and all the changes that they will have to endure and go through. But what they are committed to, Joseph and Mary are committed to raising a family that worshiped God. Nazareth was about 80 miles away from Jerusalem. And then you have some people who struggle to make it 5 or 10, 15 miles to come worship the Lord. What a lesson to look to Mary and Joseph. They didn't decide to keep one of their boys home because he was the troubled child. They brought their family to worship the Lord, the God of salvation, the Creator of the universe. Parents, if you want your children to be raised knowing the Lord and being active members of the local church, if you want your children to grow up to be kind, considerate human beings, bring them to Bible class. Bring them to worship God. That is something that if you want to be having a godly child, a good child that you have raised, and it begins with yourself. It begins with how you are raising them. We all understand that children get fussy. Mine especially do. Sometimes they're a handful. Mine especially. But be glad that you have them to keep your hands full. That you have their abilities to come and to keep you honest and keep you going. Sometimes children need to be taken out. They need to be having that attitude adjustment. They need to be corrected. but bring them to worship God. It's important to raise them in a situation of godliness where worship of the Lord is first and foremost and preeminent in their lives. Because statistics show that if you want your children to be committed to the Lord, then it begins in the home with the parents. And not just, you know, the parents in general, but especially with fathers. I want to talk to you fathers especially here. Based on experiences, we know, and as we mentioned some last night, that women have a vital role in the local church and especially in our families, raising our kids. But for our families, if we want our children to become godly adults, then it is going to begin with the example of a godly mother and a godly father, because the statistics are alarming. And these are some like social scientist type of numbers, and what they would call a fatherless home is where they might have a man present who lives in the home, but he's just kind of an absentee father. He's not very hands-on, and he may not work, he may not provide. They're saying that's a fatherless home, okay? So that's the terminology that's behind some of these statistics. But just notice some of these numbers. 63% of youth suicides are from fatherless homes. 90% of all homeless and runaway children are from fatherless homes. 85% of all children who show behavior disorders come from fatherless homes. Those numbers right there, they send a chill down my arm and back and spine. Because these numbers are indicating to me that I, in particular, have an enormous job as a father. Because if I might be in the home, I might be doing stuff, but if I'm not having an influence on my home, that could be my child. It's scary. Continuing on some of these statistics, that children with no fathers are twice as likely to drop out of school, while those with involved fathers are 40% less likely to repeat a grade in school. Now, we all know that it's probably the mothers who are helping quite a bit with the homework, right? But fathers, it's going to be by your leadership and by your example that it becomes important for your family to function that allows your wife to even be able to help her children, your children, with the homework. Children without fathers enter chemical abuse centers at 10 times the average rate. 85% of youths in prison come from homes with no fathers. And here are some interesting statistics. 53% of daughters who grow up without a father are more likely to marry as teenagers. 7 times more likely to have a child before the age of 20, and 165% more likely to have a child out of wedlock, and 92% more likely to get a divorce. Those numbers show societal problems that we have that are very real in our world, in the society that we live in. But I would argue that this is primarily not just a societal, social problem that we need society to fix. I would argue this is a spiritual problem with some terrible societal consequences. And where it begins is it begins with fathers primarily. Men, fathers, it's time to get our act together. I know sometimes we grow up and it may not be the cool thing to go to church or to be involved in the church, and There's some stigma that we might get when it comes to it, but that is one of the most important things that you could do. If you want your child to halfway have a decent life, make worshiping and serving God and being a part of a local church something that is vital in your life. That is not, it's one of those things that it will not move, that it will not budge, that you know where you're going to be on a Sunday morning and on a Sunday afternoon and on a Wednesday night, that you are going to be at the house of the Lord with your family to worship God. Because we need godly parents, and we especially need godly men in the home to provide firm leadership that will help their family and their children in their spiritual development and spiritual well-being, as along with just some of the societal things that we would want for our children. Because parents can sometimes think that if they get their children to church on Sunday, then that's enough. Or maybe we can try to get them to Bible class on Wednesday night, even though it's tough. You have school, you have homework, you have work, and all those other things that get in the way on Wednesday nights. Maybe we'll try to make that every now and then. Parents, what we need to do is be committed to getting our children to worship on Sundays and on Wednesdays. And even with that, it's still going to take time at home spent in devotion to the Word of God, reading and studying the Scriptures and praying together. It's going to involve eating, I think, together and coming to the family dinner table, putting everything away, putting the devices away, putting the phones and the tablets away for a time and spend time together. Because it is your job as a parent to teach and enforce spirituality in the home. They're not going to get it at school. They're not going to get it from anywhere else. You have to be that influence for your children. And the church can aid you. The elders can aid you. The preaching and the teaching and the Bible class teachers, that can all be an aid and a supplement and a help. But you have to live it. You have to be a godly parent if you're going to have godly children. Your children need to see you living and practicing what you say you believe. And then we have as our goal, if we're going to be godly parents and we want to raise godly children, we need to realize that growing up is going to be like everything is. Our goal is to be like Jesus. Even as we become adults, we want to be like Jesus. And I would suggest to you that as children, our example that we need to look to that can help us is Jesus. You know, Luke chapter 2 tells us about Jesus as a 12-year-old boy who they go to Jerusalem, 80 miles from home, and his parents leave him there. Have you ever left your kids somewhere? You may not want to admit that. I think my parents have admitted that they left me at the church building one time after church. They left me. So maybe that was something you did. I don't know. I'm not going to judge you if you have or haven't. But kids, I bet whether your parents answered that question or they have ever left you, I bet you have done something that you didn't ask permission to do, and that you probably, didn't exactly follow the protocol that you're supposed to do. You didn't go to your parents and say, "Hey, can I do this? Can I stay here?" And ask. I remember my senior year of high school, I got grounded the last 2 weeks of my senior year. I still remind my mom about this. Because I did not tell her where I was going to be. She knew I was going to be with Christians from church, and that we were going to, the plan was we were going to go here to stay at this guy's house. We were going to go to church the next day. Well, we ended up changing houses, okay? We didn't stay at this guy's house. We went over to this guy's house. We still came to church the next day, but my mom got after me because I didn't tell her where I was going to be. I bet a lot of mothers are thinking, yep, that was the right thing to do because I want to know where you're at. My mom's like, well, now I wouldn't do anything, you know, but of course that's how it is. I remember that. Maybe you've done something like that as a kid. Jesus did the same kind of thing here. I don't think he sinned or anything that was wrong. But his mom and dad just didn't know where he was. And Luke is the only author in the New Testament who describes Jesus' youth and coming of age. We all grow up. Even Jesus grew up. We grow up like Jesus grew up, and Jesus grew up how we grow up. Notice in Luke chapter 2 and verse 51, it says, "And he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and he continued in subjection to them, and his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men." Jesus lived in subjection to his parents. In the book of Ephesians, in Ephesians chapter 6, the Apostle Paul would write in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." Children, I'm going to talk to you for a little bit right now. You have an obligation to obey your parents, to do what they say. Even whenever you may think they don't know what I'm going through, or what I'm dealing with at home or at school. We all might think that our parents or grandparents just don't understand the things that we're dealing with today, since they don't have an iPhone, right? They don't know, maybe they don't even know how to use an iPad or a tablet or a computer. They certainly don't know what Snapchat is or Twitter or Instagram or Facebook, right? They don't know any of that stuff. They didn't have any of that stuff when they were kids. You're right. I didn't have any of that stuff when I was growing up either. But what you have to also understand is that all of those things that we just named, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all those apps, they come with the same exact problems that we've always faced. It's just packaged a little bit differently. And so if you want to grow up like Jesus grew up, be in subjection to your parents. Listen to them. Listen to their advice. When they tell you to do something, you do it, because they know what's best. Don't backtalk. Don't talk and question them. Your parents want what is best for you, and even if that means they get on to you, they are doing it for your good. And then you see, as Luke tells us, that Jesus grew up and he kept increasing in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and men. He grew up and he excelled in wisdom, education, learning, getting experience in life. Spiritual wisdom and experience, as well as perhaps secular experience and education. We know that Jesus in Mark chapter 6 and verse 3, that he learned a trade and a skill. He became a carpenter, just as his father, Joseph, was a carpenter. He learned a skill. Learn a skill. Learn something. Learn how to do something. Work with your hands. That's growing up like Jesus. Jesus got taller, he got bigger, he got stronger, he got faster. He grew up in stature as you and I do. He grew up in the favor with God, that because he knew that he was to be doing the Father's will, that he was to be serving God and being about the Father's business. He focused his life on serving God early, so that whenever he got older and things got harder, he was not going to back away from his mission. He sought to please God in everything. And he also found favor with men. think that's something that maybe we've forgotten a little bit about, especially in the life of Jesus. Not that he became a people pleaser, but he became a kind, a compassionate, considerate person who wanted to help others. He was attentive to the things that people said. He engaged in discussion with them. When they asked a question, he engaged and had dialogue with them. He wasn't plugged into his phone, never looking down, never engaging in personal conversation. Jesus grew in favor in relationships with people. I think that's something that we forget in our life. People liked him. People were drawn to him. Especially early on in the life of Jesus, he had thousands of people that came to him to listen to him teach and expand and expound on the Word of God. People liked him. And there's something to be said about that. Whenever people like you and want to be around you. And he had friends and relationships with people. That's something about Jesus growing up that I think we can all learn and benefit from. And then what we see is that as we have been talking about our life and being busy and all the things that are filled in our schedule, what we have to be sure is that our schedule is built around the house of God. When Jesus was stayed behind there in Jerusalem, as that 12-year-old boy, there's a lot of things that I can imagine that if you're 12, 13, 14 years old, that if you had the freedom to just go all over town to do whatever you wanted to do, I bet there's a lot of places you would go. But I'm just going to go out on a limb here. I'm going to say that church probably wasn't one of those places that you would go. If you were free of your parents for 3 days, you might not be going to church, right? But where does Jesus go? He goes to engage with the spiritual teachers. He goes to church. They find him in the temple, his parents did. He wasn't going out partying and on some sort of rebellious street. In Luke chapter 2 and in verse 46, then after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. He was there for 3 days. He was with the teachers of the law. He was engaging them in discussion. He learned to talk to them. There's another important lesson there for kids in our families that we need to teach our children to talk to older adults, to people who are more knowledgeable about spiritual things than maybe what even we are as parents. But when Mary begins questioning him, he says he must be about his father's business. In the New American Standard, in Luke 2 and verse 49, it phrases it a little bit differently. Jesus asked, "Did you not know that I had to be in my Father's house?" He needed to be studying and learning the will of God. You're never too old or too young to ask questions and to learn God's Word. We need to make our life and our busy schedules around... That's my pen. I'll kick that over here. Pick that up in a minute. We need to make our life and our schedules about being prepared to go to the house of the Lord. Far too often, we as parents, we're not bringing our children to worship and to go to Bible class with lessons that are prepared. I think I've been seeing some Bible class books and materials being floated around, being passed out to kids. Kids, read those lesson books. Read them, come prepared, have those things filled out, be ready to engage in discussion with your teacher. Don't lose those books, study them, use them. Take notes during sermons and classes. If you have questions, ask them. Because what you see in the Bible are plenty of examples of young people who were obedient to Jesus, or into God. Jesus tops that list. You can think of Daniel. And we all know the story of Daniel and his friends. Daniel in the lion's den. Daniel, from a youth on up, was extremely committed and devoted to God, especially in prayer. He learned to pray. If you want to learn to pray, start at an early age. Joseph was a young man in the Bible that we read about. He worked hard. He was reliable. I suggest to you that there's a lot of good lessons that we can learn from that. Just in those two things, be reliable and work hard. If you do that, you will be successful in life. David, he was that little boy David. And he went and faced the giant Goliath. That took courage. It took bravery. Sometimes we have to face things head on, even as young people. We have to be choosing to serve God. We need to be brave. Or you think about Josiah. Josiah was 8 years old and he became king. And he was one of the best kings that Judah ever had. He led people back to God. If you want to have a godly home, I would suggest you need to be prayerful like Daniel. You need to be reliable and you need to work hard like Joseph. You need to be brave like David. You need to be good like Josiah. If you will pray and be reliable, be brave, be good, you will have success in life. You have Jesus and you have all these examples of what it means to serve God, to be busy about doing the Father's will. Because we live in a complicated world. We live in a world filled with technology, distractions that are all around us. And it seems that serving God is just not as important to younger generations as it used to be. Children, this morning, you're growing up just as Jesus grew up. Many of the same things that He faced and the challenges that He had in His life, you and I have had and will have. He made it His life's purpose to obey God. You need to be asking yourself this morning, have you made it your life's purpose to obey God? It's not too early to make that choice. Parents, we sometimes wonder how we might be able to fight off the devil and all the worldly influences that are easily accessible to our children that are just right there, a mouse click away or at their fingertips. That can cause a lot of anxiety and worry on our part as parents, a lot of sleepless nights. But you need to make your commitment to being a good father, a good mother, and raising your children with the right priorities. And fathers, you need to make it your primary task, not just about climbing the ladder at work to get a bigger job, a bigger promotion, a bigger raise, but you need to make it As Joshua said, and as we sung about this morning, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Will you serve the Lord today? If you need to become a Christian, we would have no greater joy than to help you put Christ on in baptism this morning. And if you have already become a child of God, but you've not been living right, we hope that you will make things right with the Lord by coming and confessing and repenting of your sins. If we can help you in some way, would you come as we stand and as we sing?